The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does God believe in sovereign countries, or is he an open border kind of God? Well, my friend, the Bible has quite a bit to say about sovereign nations and countries protecting each other with borders. Now, I will say this, God has built an interdenominational, international nation called the church. Here, everybody is welcome, regardless of country, race, or skin color. However, he does insist on something that many open border people do not. We must repent of our sins and take responsibility for our actions, a whole new idea these days. Latest mantra from those pushing a borderless society, we need to build bridges, not walls. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Almost poetic. It brings a tear to my eye. Just one question for those who like to coin this phrase. Is that the way your own home is designed? When is the last time you remodeled your house, removing all gates and doors and replacing them with an easy-to-follow path into your living room? By the way, one of the first to use the bridges instead of walls slogan was our current Pope. Have you seen the walls and gates that enclose the Vatican palaces, offices, and gardens? No, there is limited access to certain courtyards and all kinds of tours, but they're paid tours to Vatican museums and other places where people first go through metal detectors. Meanwhile, how about the enclosures around the mansions of our Hollywood elitists who also speak of a borderless society? Well, this is a big discussion all over the United States, especially in California, with its declaration of being a sanctuary state. And many cities within California now seem to want to declare sanctuary from Sacramento, or should we say sanity from Sacramento. But while most people are focusing on immigration, all kinds of other fun stuff is coming out of Sacramento, things that, in my opinion, are far more concerning because they deal with freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Here to discuss this provocative topic with me is a special guest, no stranger to the Bob Siegel Show. Ann Polk is a mom, ministry leader, author, and speaker on homosexual issues. She has appeared on TV, radio, and in magazines between the 1990s to 2004, including Oprah Winfrey, Good Morning America, CBS Evening News, 700 Club, Focus on the Family Radio, and Dr. James Kennedy's Coral Ridge Ministry, and ended up in People Magazine and on the cover of Newsweek during this time, giving 300 interviews in 1 month's time. That was back in the year 1998. And has spoken at Love One Out conferences, the Southern Baptist Convention's Clarity Conference, Western Seminary, National Religious Broadcasters, and Focus on the Family's Pastor and Pregnancy Resource Conferences. More recently, Anne has appeared on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Her story of redemption has also been in documentaries, including Such Were Some of You, put on by Pure Passion TV. Anne, welcome back to our program.
Wow, thank you so much for having me, Bob. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, so we have this nasty bill. Well, all the bills coming out of Sacramento are that way these days, but this one is especially precarious, AB 2943. Please tell my audience all about that.
Yeah, you bet. It's a bill that's been written by one member of the GLBT caucus in Sacramento, Evan Lowe. And it is to outlaw helping anyone with unwanted same-sex attraction or desires or gender confusion. And so what they mean is declaring this to be a fraudulent act if you advertise, offer to engage in, or engage in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual. It is going to be illegal under the state consumer fraud law.
So the first thing we think of is counselors, but my understanding is even if it was written in a book, that book could be banned.
Right. So we're talking about the state of California banning books. I testified before that committee on Tuesday, last Tuesday. It's going to be heard again at another committee, the Judiciary Committee, on Tuesday. But the Privacy and Consumer Consumer Protection Agency commission is what heard the bill the first time. And I literally put on top of the table, here are, you know, 2 feet worth of materials that you're suggesting would be banned from the state. And they're from all different denominations, all over. They're various documentaries to books to you name it. It's all there. So they're suggesting banning that. And then I put on top of that my big NISB Bible, my study Bible, and said, look, this is when someone suggests where to find help for leaving homosexuality and that Jesus forgives sin. This is where I turn, and this book is particularly precious to me. This is Bible. And so you're suggesting that the sale of any of these things for that purpose would be fraudulent. It's claiming fraud. So we're talking about life change being called fraud. We're talking about transformed lives being called fraud, whether in the counseling room or through books, materials, conferences, seminars, you name it. And that would be held at potentially a Christian college. What about biblical sexual worldview, sexual ethics being taught on campus? So all of a sudden, this becomes quite a bit bigger and broader issue than just counseling alone.
You know, Anne, it seems that when activists come into power, they're never satisfied. A number of years ago, we were hearing all we want is same-sex unions. They were saying we don't even ask for marriage. And then it became, well, we want the affirmation of marriage. And many conservatives like myself said, you know, I don't believe in gay marriage, but if that's all they wanted, I could live with that. I wouldn't agree with that. I wouldn't like that, but I could live with that. But I said, I don't believe for a second that they'll stop there, that the agenda is to eventually make it against the law to even say that homosexuality is wrong. Isn't this just another step along the way? Well, this one is about, well, advertising to help people overcome their homosexual lifestyle, but won't it go on in the future and then there'll just be some bill that makes it against the law to even speak against homosexuality at all?
Absolutely, and that's what's happened in Canada. Our predecessors in this movement have moved quite far along that way. So if someone reads Leviticus or Romans 1, or if they read out loud passages from 1 Peter, Timothy, you name it, Paul's writings, Peter's writings, Jesus's comments about marriage and its intent, Genesis 1, well, that can be banned from the airways in Canada. We're not far behind. So the whole point here is that if you cannot buy something that seeks to help somebody overcome homosexuality, if that's their own desire as an adult, and they want to buy a book on that, it opens up whoever the bookseller is to a charge of fraud, which is used like the kitchen sink in legal cases. So even one of the commissioners on that, the assembly persons on that committee said that this is one of the most used portions of code in suits. So that will have a chilling effect on free speech and constitutional freedoms in the state. And that's the very intent is, the people who want to embrace homosexuality, we're not withholding their right to do that. Why are they seeking to withhold those who want to leave homosexuality from getting the help that they want? These are people seeking that help, and instead they're claiming fraud and opening people up to lawsuits as a result. So there will end up being book bans, conferences, and you name it. we often have gay activists come to our conferences, and you know what? We're happy to have them. We had Hope 2017 down in San Diego, Bob.
Yes, I remember that when you were here for that.
Yeah, there were dozens of gay activists outside, and they were chanting and had slogans and whatever. Quite rude, actually. They were taking photographs of people driving in the driveway, and they were flipping them off, and they were blocking the driveway. Quite rude. And had signs that were mean, that kind of thing. Yep, chanting stuff that was mean. We responded in kindness, and a couple of them came in and attended the conference just to see and probably report back. But they've sensed the kindness of the people, and I think of God inside. And they didn't go out saying anything, but we have that kind of thing happen all the time. So let's just say in 2 years we hold a Hope conference in California again. If that happens, and we have gay activists come and buy tickets and go in, they can leave and then file a suit against us.
What if it were offered for free and they weren't buying a ticket? Could they prevent you from even teaching it at all, even if there was no monetary transaction?
In this particular bill, there has to be some kind of change of hands of money.
Okay.
So if you're selling tickets to an event or you're selling a product like a, you know, online documentary or a download for something, or we often our materials are free, but book publishers, you know, it costs money.
Oh, of course. Oh, of course. You have every right to charge a fee, but I just wanted to see what the extent of this bill was.
Sorry, I have this nasty cough. So anyway, I mean, if we could offer everything under the sun for free, we'd do it. But the whole thing is we give as much away as possible, including our keynote speeches that we load up onto YouTube or other video service so people can access them for free after the event's over. But in this case, if somebody were to buy, say, my book, I have a book out, How Women to Leave Homosexuality, if they buy that, there is the chance that I could be sued based upon this fraud law that happens in California, or the carrier selling the book. Amazon.com sells an awful lot of our books.
And the ironic thing is, in your book, you're talking about your own testimony, how you were freed from that lifestyle. So
right, and
you're an illustration of the fact that this does work and that it's not fraudulent.
Yeah. Exactly. And I know an awful lot of other people. Now, does everybody attempt something and it always happens? I would say that's not usually the case. If you're looking at going to AA to overcome alcoholism, there's still a pretty strong failure rate of those who begin going and then they split back into alcoholism, right?
And it can be a struggle and a process throughout your life, too. It's not necessarily going to be an instant fix.
No, it's not at all an instant fix. In fact, the life in Jesus is walking closer to him, and more he transforms you into his own image, the character of Christ in your life. And that's over a long time. There's a trajectory of life, right? So that's okay. What's important is, are you walking closer? Are you surrendering more? Are you becoming more like Jesus? And that takes a long time, and I'm delighted to be in that process.
All right, Ann, hold with me. We'll be right back. I'm here with Ann Polk, discussing a heinous bill coming out in California that would curtail free speech. We'll be right back.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. My guest today is Ann Polk, here to talk about a bill making its way through Sacramento, AB 2943. Ann, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Bob.
Now, I'm never too hopeful in California, but you said you had a chance to go and testify, and I know that the Democrat holds the majority. What is the chance that the Republicans are going to keep this thing from passing, or is this really a done deal?
Well, good question. We don't know. When they had both the House, the Senate, and the governor's seat, when it was looking like Christian colleges were no longer going to be allowed to have code of conduct, that kind of thing. And that was turned away at the last minute. That was a bit too rough. And so there is hope if there's a decent response against these bills. There are actually three bills coming out by similar authors.
Okay, could you tell us about the other two bills?
You bet. AB 2943 is the general broad bill, mostly against counselors, but anyway, money changes hands. And that could be seen in a whole bunch of different ways. I'll give you a website to go to check it out as well, to find out more information about that. It's CaliforniaFamily.org. And then you just look at the material on AB 2943. So CaliforniaFamily.org. Another one is 2119, which forces puberty-blocking drugs for sex change operations on foster kids. It's a one-way direction of getting care. So we're talking about kids who are already vulnerable. It's going to be heard this Tuesday for the first hearing.
Wait, they're forcing this on foster children, you said?
Foster children have only one option, and that's to be...
Well, now, who would have the right to do that? Foster parents are not their real parents, so this is actually the state ordering?
The state who's supposedly the parent role, right?
That is just horrendous.
Yeah, it is, actually. It's quite horrendous. Their American College of Pediatricians, National Task Force of Therapy Equality in California... Family Council are all speaking against that. We have a good friend who's with Bethel Church, who also is a medical doctor, and he's a foster parent. So he's going to speak up against it as well. So we're going to have a couple of expert witnesses there that we know, and they'll be speaking against that. So we're hoping we can turn that aside. The third one was pulled for a little bit, 1779. But it looks like that hearing is going to be slated for later this month.
And so what is this third one about?
It was 1779 is sexual orientation counseling outlawed for some adults under conservatorship or guardianship. So in other words, if somebody has a gambling addiction, so they're under conservatorship or guardianship of another adult, then they would not be allowed to get same-sex counseling related to wanting to leave homosexuality. It would be reducing their freedoms in an additional way. If somebody was physically disabled and needed a guardianship person or someone looking after them, it would remove their ability to make decisions in a whole other area, even though they're an adult. So in that sense, it was a very poorly written law, but if the other one passes, 2943, it does impact the 1779. That one's kind of a lesser law in that sense. The one that covers all adults would bring that under it anyhow. But they did pull that because there are some other issues. Like when somebody is disabled, you don't generally take away additional freedoms. You don't treat them like a child as an adult. So this is exactly what that did. It came across as, we are going to be your adult for you. We're going to, you know, set another way that you can't respond. And that's not typical of how case law handles adults who are having some disability in some way. So the California legislature pulled that one. The biggest threat of all is the 2943 on religious freedom and viewpoint discrimination. But the largest threat for children is very distinct in the 2119. That one's quite dangerous, and there's plenty of data to back up why that shouldn't be the case.
Now, is there some kind of grassroots campaign going on of people just flooding Sacramento with letters and phone calls?
Yes, they are.
And how is that going?
It's going pretty well. The first one, before the first hearing last Tuesday, was organized really rapidly, and this website got put up there, and a bunch of national groups began to gather and send out notices to people in their mailing list. And 2,500 letters came into the Sacramento area against that bill, 2943. Unfortunately, that didn't cause them to pull it. They still voted. They passed that committee, and it moved on to the Judiciary Committee. So at this point, the response hasn't been strong enough to maybe hopefully change this. If it does pass both committees, it will go for a full vote in the House. If it passes the House, it will then be given to committees in the Senate. They will go through hearings in one or two committees there. It will go to the full Senate. If it continues to pass each of those barriers, it will go to the governor. And the governor may or may not sign it. If he doesn't sign it, then it will go into law at the end of the year.
Well, I can't imagine Jerry Moonbeam Brown not signing this with his record.
Hard to believe it, but it will be challenged if it goes through legally. We're already seeing some people getting ready for that. So the whole point here is that we're doing everything we can to get it to stop in its track now. Because I know, and many other people, I'm sure you're aware, but as soon as something passes in California, it doesn't generally stay there. That's the launch pad for the rest of the country.
Yeah, we're kind of the opposite of Las Vegas. What happens in California does not stay in California.
Right, that's right.
Ann, could you stay with me for another segment? I know that's a little longer than what we had agreed. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 4. 480-539 WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
To talk about the bill AB 2943 and two horrible related bills is Ann Polk. Ann, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure having you. What is the calendar for this thing? When is this coming up for a vote?
The next thing that happens is on Tuesday, two bills are being heard, 2943 in the Judiciary Committee, and then 2119 is being heard that day as well. I believe, 2943 is at 9 a.m. And then in the same room at 1:30, the other bill will be heard about foster kids. So,
and then the vote will follow pretty soon after that, I take it?
Right. They will do the committee vote immediately thereafter, after hearing the testimony.
Now, if it gets challenged right away in court, will that delay it from being implemented, or will they try to implement it right away, whether it's challenged or not?
Good question. It'll be challenged immediately, so it would depend upon what the judge rules initially going forward.
Gee, I can only wonder what the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will say about this.
Right. Well, I guess there's seven empty seats currently waiting to be appointed on the Ninth Circuit, which is amazing. And then it has the most empty seats of any circuit court. But it will go to the federal courts, and then if it goes to there, if it doesn't rule favorably, it would go to the Supreme Court. And there's rumor that Supreme Court Justice Kennedy will be stepping down this summer. I don't know if that's true or not. But if that should happen, there will be a new appointee to the Supreme Court that could be very favorable, 5-4. So you just never know. But if California continues to pass it, there may be hope yet far in the future. We're looking about 3 years out to the Supreme Court.
Now, I take it that in the case of a pastor offering pastoral counsel where he's not charging at the moment, that would not be in jeopardy, since, once again, that's not a financial transaction?
Well, you know, that should be the case. Now, what if the person is tithing to the church, and as a result, they believe because they're tithing, they should get free counseling or free...
Well, and again, if this one passes, they're not going to be satisfied. There'll be another one. And the militant gay agenda is to make it against the law to even think that homosexuality is wrong. This was their stated agenda back in the 80s. I do like to always give this disclaimer, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Anne. I do not believe that the militant gay agenda speaks for most gay people. Would you agree with that?
Oh, no, I don't think so either. I think, and besides that, I don't see gay people as my enemy regardless. I think the objective, the worldviews are the significant difference, right? the lack of tolerance for other points of view definitely is an opponent, no question about it. But there is nothing in me that hates gay people. I do not care for, pushing their views on everybody else, just the way no one else cares for having my views pushed on them. I'm not trying to push my views on somebody else. So I think that sense of, hey, you know, not just tolerate, but respect that I have a different point of view than you, is simply not a two-way street with the gay activists. So they need to mature a little bit. They need to understand that there are different point of views, and you can't just silence the ones that you disagree with. And that immaturity is what's leading the current surge and what's happening. Of course, honestly, Bob, when I think about it, if they sense that it's true, that there's something wrong about homosexuality, and they sense a sense of conviction about that, that it might indeed be sin, then they would want to silence that voice because it would be naggingly telling them truth they don't want to hear. So there is that issue.
I think that's true with all of us and all of our sins. I think many people, yeah, when they're struggling whether or not to become a Christian, I don't really think it's a theological struggle. I think it is about our sin, and that's our joint heritage as human beings, our sin.
Yeah, no kidding. But there's that desire to silence that point of view you disagree with vehemently, and there's a reason why it gets under the skin from so much. It provokes something that they don't want to face. They don't want to even think about. Is gay good? And, you know, that's the assumption that the individuals have. Now, as far as we look at our bodies and we say, were we designed for homosexuality? Was there a design error? And then you can kind of think through, okay, what are the medical or the physical implications to something that takes your body off course, that takes your heart and soul off course? And homosexuality could easily be proven in that kind of natural law flavor as being something that goes awry. It goes astray. And that's the nature of sin, isn't it? I mean, it's an archery term.
Missing the mark. Missing the mark, yes.
So there you go. And in the outcome of that, of straying far, particularly in the area of sexuality, is that you expose yourself to a great deal of danger medically and physically. The body wasn't designed for particular actions, and when you do those things, you damage it. You wreak havoc on your own system, and this is the body we're entrusted with. This is the body we're given and we're stewarding. So it has to last us well. AIDS doesn't suit the body. You know, it doesn't fit. It's an enemy. Illness is an enemy, and we don't want to increase that. But the young folks who are now in the gay community, some, they're distinctly against safe sex practices. In fact, there's a goal to get AIDS to prove that they're fully gay. So it's a sad story where things can go so awry. And I'm so grateful that Jesus called me to himself. I'm grateful that you were a part of that, Bob. And you shared the truth with me many years ago that Jesus knows how to redeem from sin, and that I should surrender my all for him, and he would give me his all. And what an amazing trade that was in the beginning of new life in Christ that grew me into the woman of God I am today.
And you have been a very courageous woman taking this stand for many who would speak against it. Well, Ann, thank you so much. It's always an honor to have you on our program.
Thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay.
Grateful for you.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Another shooting last week. This time, an animal rights activist trying to shoot up a bunch of employees at YouTube. My sympathies for all those who were injured, but my sympathies also go toward the leftist media. Surely they will be in a quandary over just exactly how to spin this one. After all, it does not fall into the normal parameters of their multiple choice narratives. Let's review their narratives. Narrative one, when the killer is a Muslim, we are immediately admonished not to paint the entire religion of Islam with one broad brush, to remember that one bad apple does not spoil the entire bunch, and that we are bigots if we blame anybody but the shooter himself. However, moving on to their next narrative, if the shooter is a member of the NRA, we are expected to use that broad brush and portray the entire NRA as evil. Now, this is very important. Follow with me. If the shooter is not a member of the NRA, we are still to portray the NRA as evil simply by nature of the fact that the shooter was using a gun. Ditto with blaming an entire organization if the person is a Christian, Republican, or member of the Tea Party. Anything to advance the narrative that men as a gender are just plain violent is also fair game. Here now is the current problem. Several particulars do not match up. First, the killer this time is a woman. A woman being violent is something that confuses the left. Some of them have probably never even heard of such a phenomenon. The other problem is that animal rights activists are on the leftists' good list. In fact, anything that imposes on our freedoms is always on the list. They are happy to tell us what to eat, what to smoke, marijuana accepted, what to drive, what to own, how much money to make, what to watch, what to listen to, and what to believe. So doing away with the evils of eating meat is simply fine. In fact, it's very appropriate. Thus the dilemma. Why, oh why, would a person representing such a righteous PC cause go astray? Whatever will our leftist media do? Well, I said on Facebook a few days ago to watch for some stuff, and it's already starting to happen. They are not going to focus on the cause or the gender, but the gun alone, right? This fits with one of their narratives. Do not expect to hear as much about gender this time or about animal rights activists. Just the gun, folks. It's not about evil people, only evil guns. But they do have another trick to pull out of the bag. They could claim that since a woman would never do such a thing, this woman is not truly a woman, but rather a man trapped in a woman's body. Even if the woman herself never made such a claim, the left could insist that she just had not yet faced up to who she truly was, or who he truly was, I should say. They could even go one better and claim that she was not an animal rights activist, but rather a Tea Party activist. Never mind the facts. Facts are so old-fashioned. get with the time. Facts are no longer objective. They are subjective. The only test is what the media in their heart of hearts believes she represented. So yeah, despite the early reports of this being a female animal rights activist, it may in reality be a male Tea Party member. Now, what about a female Tea Party member, you're thinking? Isn't half the Tea Party made up of women? Oh, quit trying to confuse the matter. Male Tea Party member. Now, to those who think my satire is far too unrealistic an exaggeration of inward gender or inward racial identity taken to its logical extremes, I want to remind you we have already been told that the violence against conservatives at Berkeley was not truly violent. Indeed, anyone complaining about the violence is the real violent person. And so, enjoy satire while you can. It's on the endangered species list. We are fast approaching a time when no made-up satire will be more bizarre than the real news. Well, if you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net. That's questions at bobsiegel.net. This is from Dan. He says, let's not ignore the fact that she didn't use an assault weapon. They'll spin that too. My friend and co-host Jim Barrier says, sadly, you are right again, satire and all. Steve says, where is David Hogg when we need him? Why is he not talking about a 9mm, which was the woman's weapon of choice? So will we be blaming a 9mm? Also, now PETA is a terrorist organization. What a load of bunk. Fran says, honestly, I am so tired of the news on TV. This won't be a popular statement, but I miss TV news when there were only three channels to choose from, and the news was at 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., and it was just the news, not everyone's opinions and talking over each other, and it ended at 10:30 p.m. with the question, do you know where your children are? Well, Fran, there's a lot of things about those days that I miss. I don't miss the days when the three major networks were our only watchdogs for news, because they were very biased in those days, too. We just didn't know it because we didn't have an alternative. Now, I am very sympathetic with anybody who gets tired of watching the news these days. I oftentimes feel like turning it off myself. I have to keep up with the news because I write a column and I do a radio show, and it's important, but I certainly don't blame anybody who's just sick and tired of it and misses the days when we had less news. I wouldn't mind less as long as there was balance to go with the less. Ed, a police officer, says, there are several problems for the left agenda on this. One is that which was already pointed out, but let me expand. She used a 9mm handgun. Now, this could be spun up as a high-capacity weapon, as many S&W 9mm magazines that can carry more than 10, but there is no evidence that the magazines she had were of this type. You know, I may be reading this wrong. They're saying MM, and I don't know enough about guns. I'm starting to think that doesn't mean millimeter. It might. I don't know. Maybe one of you who knows more about guns can correct me, but they're saying 9mm, and I was putting in, but I assumed it meant, you see what a peaceful guy I am? Can you see that I obviously don't carry a gun because I know nothing about them? Anyway, he says, to the counter to this is, of course, that California has a ban on high cap magazines, again, proving that laws do not dissuade criminals. On another point to your original post, how many of these active shooter criminals have been NRA members? I may understand the number is a whopping zero. Okay, well, a lot of stuff going on in the world. When we get back, we're going to take a peek behind the curtains, look a little bit at what the Bible says about the source for evil. And one of those sources is a figure called Satan.
know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
Listen to this customer review of Bob Siegel's novel, Choice of the Lorelei. I saw this play on which the story is based many years ago. Elements of it have stayed with me over the years as it expanded my imagination about how things might have been in ancient times. It was also very exciting to see this story intersecting with the other works by the author. Very different stories, yet linked by a common element. I can hardly wait for more. Choice of the Lorelei, available in ebook or print copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
In the Bible, but not taken very seriously, even by people who believe in the Bible. I know a lot of Bible-believing Christians who don't take this very seriously, is the figure of Satan. He is not symbolic. He is a real being, but there's a lot of misunderstandings about him. And one of the reasons that people have such a difficult time believing in him is because of the mythology. Now, mythology is not true, but sometimes something that is true gets turned into mythology. When people think of Satan, or think of him by his other name as the devil, they think of some horned creature with a pitchfork. He's colored red. I remember when I was a little kid, there was a comic book called Hot Stuff about this little kid devil. Sometimes people think that there's this place called hell where Satan's ruling. In fact, one of the epic classic poems called Paradise Lost by Milton has Satan saying, "I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven." The Bible does not teach that Satan is down in hell shoveling coal. The Bible teaches that Satan was originally a good being created by God. Some believe he was an angel. Whether or not he was an angel is not made that clear in the Bible. We do know, however, that he was a beautiful, luminous being, and he was given a position of authority in heaven. That position of authority got to his head, and he rebelled against God. Other angels rebelled with him. Now, there isn't time to get into the detail, but the descendants of the angels who rebelled with him are called demons. There is now this whole kingdom, this whole army of demonic forces under the power of Satan. They're no longer in heaven. They are not yet in hell. God is going to send them to hell someday. So where are they? Well, as a book once put it, Satan is alive and well and living on planet Earth. Now, you don't see him because he is in another dimension. And dimensions, the idea of other dimensions, physicists have theorized that we could have as many as 16 different dimensions out there, possibly more. But the Bible teaches that Satan is unseen. They are in some other dimension, and they have access to the human mind through some kind of telepathy. They can actually put thoughts in your mind. Sometimes your thoughts, most of the time, your thoughts are your own thoughts. Other times a thought can come from a demon. Other times a thought can come from the Spirit of God, and it takes real discernment to see the difference between
all three of them. So he is a creature of God who fell through pride. He has free reign on earth and a rapport with human beings. He was defeated by Jesus as a result of the cross and the resurrection. Now, why do I say defeated as a result of the cross and the resurrection? The worst two things that Satan can do to people is encourage them to sin and kill them. Now, he can't kill us unless God allows it. There are times when God will allow things to happen. He'll allow an evil person or an evil spiritual being to commit evil. It doesn't mean God's out of control. It just means there's this drama taking place where people are deciding whether they're going to serve God or serve Satan, and it's God's letting it play out so that people can make an ultimate decision. But Satan can be responsible for the death of people. Sometimes when there's a tragedy or a disease or a war, he's behind it. I'm not claiming that every time that happens, he's behind it, but he could be. So the worst two things he can do is encourage us to sin. He can't make us sin. We hear that old phrase, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything, but he can certainly tempt you. He can certainly cause sin to look very, very appealing. So if encouraging us to sin and then killing us, and what does that accomplish? Well, we end up in hell. Well, why is it important for Satan that we end up in hell? Because he's going there. Now, over the years, different theologians have speculated. Some have said, well, maybe Satan was thinking that if everybody ended up qualifying for hell, then God, being a loving God, wouldn't want to send anybody, so nobody would have to go, and then he wouldn't have to go either. Well, there's another theory that I think is much simpler, and to me it makes much more sense. I think he's just so bitter and so evil that he wants to drag us down with him. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave us our sins. It was as if you died on the cross. God looked at the death of Jesus as if you paid for your own sins. And then Jesus rose from the dead. And as a result of Jesus rising from the dead, after you die, you can rise from the dead if you've turned from your sins. If you've asked God to forgive you, that's the way in which he does it. So if our sins can be forgiven, despite the fact that we've sinned, and if we're going to rise from the dead and live forever in heaven, despite the fact that we're someday going to die, then the two worst things that Satan could do to us have no power over us anymore. That is why he was defeated at the cross. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said, now is the ruler of this world judged. And that's one of the names for Satan, the ruler of this world. So God created hell for Satan and his angels and his demons. He did not create hell for human beings. If human beings end up there, they're there by mistake. And a lot of them are going to end up there, unfortunately. Now, the Bible gives different names for Satan. The name Satan itself means adversary. The name devil means accuser. Now, again, when I say devil, again, this mythical image comes up. I've had this come up in debates with atheists at universities where they've tried to make me or any Christian they're debating look foolish because we actually believe in Satan. And yet these same people, if we were in a discussion about the universe or something relating to the border between science and science fiction, and they asked a Christian, do you believe there's life on other planets? If a Christian said, no, I don't believe that, they'd find that very close-minded. How do you know? Can't we be open to the idea of alien life? Ladies and gentlemen, I am open to the idea of alien life, and that's all the Bible means when it talks about Satan and his minions. Alien life, another kind of intelligence. The only difference is that instead of them living on some other planet, they're living in some other dimension. So the word devil means accuser because he tries to accuse us of the very sins that God forgave us of. Well, there's much more to say about Satan, and we'll continue and move on with this in a future program. We'll see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.